Welcome to Making a Difference, episode 28, Michigan's Armed Terrorists. I'm Eric Crossley with you tonight from Charm City, Baltimore, Maryland, and our great support down there in Florida with Dayron Arias. Thanks so much, Dayron, for all your help. Every week we do this show, sometimes more than once a week, sometimes a little bit less, but we're getting back on track. The election is around the corner, folks. It is today's October 9th. We are really less than a month away from the election. It's coming up really soon, 3 weeks from this Tuesday, and a lot to cover. First of all, I'd like to say welcome again to Making a Difference, episode 28. We're going to have another critical breaking news story, as we do just about every week, talking about Michigan's armed terrorists. But I want to first of all say thank you, as we do every week, to Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, and all of those who connect up with us through LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook. Thanks so much for listening. Top countries this week, it's been pretty stable as far as our listenership goes. Number one is always the United States, which we would expect since that's where we are from. And 95% of our stories are about the U.S. Number two, Canada. Thanks so much to the folks up north. Australia, thanks again down under to our friends in the UK and the United Kingdom. And I've enjoyed my travels so much over there. Thank you. And number five, Germany. Always surprised, but always a joy to have the folks from Germany on board. We have actually every week I get a show ready, and or twice a week as we're going to be doing from now on through the election and probably the inauguration. And then something breaks. Even with COVID-19, even with the president being a traitor to the United States with Vladimir Putin and getting impeached, but the Senate ignoring it, the historic things that have been happening, the national tragedy, the pandemic. And now, this week, welcome to Donald Trump's America, folks. This comes to us from the Associated Press, and this just came out in the past few days. This has been a plot going on in Michigan, actually, for several months. Not only have Michigan State Police and Michigan authorities and the FBI been involved, everybody's been looking into this. And this is a plot against the governor of Michigan. Just yesterday, 13 people have been charged in plots against the Michigan governor. Now, the Michigan governor is a Democrat, Governor Gretchen Whitmer, and she was actually considered by Joe Biden as a possible vice presidential choice. She was not the one chosen, of course, because of the wonderful choices we have with Ms. Harris. But nevertheless, what happened against the Democratic governor of Michigan has faced some tough criticisms. Michigan is an unusual state, and it is Democratic, but it's not a completely blue state because Detroit and the larger cities in Michigan are very, very Democratic. And the rest of Michigan, not unlike Florida, by the way, with the large cities of Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Tampa, St. Pete, Jacksonville, Orlando. Outside of those cities, Florida is like redneck city. It's like Alabama. Well, Michigan is up north, but it's exactly the same way. And unfortunately, Michigan has a lot of active militia groups. So agents have foiled a stunning plot to kidnap Michigan Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer, authorities said Thursday, in announcing charges in an alleged scheme that involved months of planning and even rehearsals to snatch her from her vacation home. So this is what's been going on down in over in Michigan, just west of us and north of us from here in the DC area. And we want to go to a clip right now and hear details. This is coming from a spokesperson they did not name from the Michigan Capitol and also the Michigan Attorney General. And this is some of the latest information we have on this stunning plot against the Democratic governor of Michigan. We'll go to that clip right now.
The FBI and Michigan State Police arrested six individuals charged in a federal complaint with conspiring to kidnap the Governor of Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer. According to the complaint, unsealed this morning, Adam Fox, Barry Croft, Ty Garbin, Caleb Franks, Daniel Harris, and Brandon Caserta conspired to kidnap the governor from her vacation home in the Western District of Michigan before the November election.
On account of the state, we have additional charges, so I'd like to announce the following preliminary charges pursuant to the Michigan Anti-Terrorism Act against seven individuals, all of whom are now in custody, linked to the militia group Wolverine Watchmen and associates of Wolverine Watchmen. The individuals in custody are suspected to have attempted to identify the home addresses of law enforcement officers in order to target them, made threats of violence intended to instigate a civil war, and engaged in planning and training for an operation to attack the Capitol building of Michigan and to kidnap government officials, including the governor of Michigan.
And an overview of what's happened in Michigan, coming from the Attorney General and spokesperson at the state capitol. Michigan has had a large number of far right-wing militia groups, and they've been coming to the state capitol, Ann Arbor, and demonstrating not only outside the capitol, but inside the capitol, and been allowed to enter the capitol steps and the capitol building with AR-15s and rifles. I mean, it's astonishing to think that Michigan allows this in this day and age. I mean, it's just absolutely unbelievable. But these people are armed. These are people that want to overthrow the government. They want to kill the governor of the state. Now, the idea here was to come to her house, her vacation house, blow up a bridge. This is all true, by the way. This is all confirmed. These are these 13 people have not been charged. But the federal charges here are conspiring to kidnap the governor before the November 3rd election in reaction to what this militia group, the Wolverine Watchmen, was the main group involved in this. This election group said they viewed the governor as, quote, uncontrolled power, according to a federal complaint. Separately, seven other people have been listed and linked to a paramilitary group called the Wolverine Watchmen. They've been charged in state court for allegedly seeking to storm the Michigan State Capitol and seek a civil war. These are people who have already been on the steps and in the Capitol. They were actually in the legislature. They were allowed with weapons in there, people. This is what we have to understand. Throw everything else out the window. This is the type of stuff that's happening now under Donald Trump. This is what we have to thank, because he said to the right-wing militia group just last week, he said, just don't stand down, but stand by. That's what he said to terrorists in our country that want to overthrow our government. So this is where we've gotten to now, and this is what is a red alert beyond red alerts we've ever seen. The paramilitary group called the Wolverine Watchmen were charged in state court for allegedly seeking to storm the Michigan State Capitol and seek a civil war. I said that again. The reason I said it again is because it's beyond belief. It's astonishing. This is what's happening in this country. And I went on CNN.com tonight, and it was the third story. That's how bad things have gotten in this country, that now overthrowing the government, storming the state capitol in Michigan, kidnapping the governor, and then executing her because she doesn't agree with their policies of wearing masks, and they think it's too many policies on this COVID-19. That's the type of thing they're thinking of, folks. Now, surveillance for the kidnapping plot took place in August and September, according to an FBI affidavit, and four of the men had planned to meet on Wednesday, just a couple of days ago, to make a payment on explosives and exchange tactical gear. The FBI quoted one of the men as saying, Governor Whitmer, the Democratic governor that they don't like, right, quote, has no checks and balances at all. She has uncontrolled power right now. All good things must come to an end. What that exactly means is pretty clear. They want to kill her. They wanted to kill the governor. They wanted to kill the Democrats, probably the lieutenant governor. I don't know if he's a Democrat there in Michigan or not, and take over power. So if that doesn't get you upset and you're still voting for Donald Trump, then you might as well turn the show off right now, folks, because we're past the point of no return. The men were arrested Wednesday night. The six charged in federal court face up to life in prison if convicted. The state terrorism charges the other seven men face carry a possible 20-year sentence. So Michigan, which allows people with AR-15 rifles, after 9/11, almost 20 years after 9/11, people with rifles and heavy weapons to enter the state capitol, Michigan, says to people that, you know what, if you want to take over the state capitol, kill the governor, overthrow our government, and kill everybody, that's going to be up to 20 years. That's what they think. They want to release these people. So Michigan's got some problems, but, you know, I don't live in Michigan, and we just have to deal with how they affect us right now and how we can hopefully help save the people of Michigan from having something like this happen. Andrew Burge, the U.S. attorney in Western Michigan, called the men, quote, extremely violent, violent extremists. They discussed detonating explosive devices, including under a highway bridge, to divert police from the area near Governor Whitmer's vacation home, and they brought a taser for the kidnapping. Now, the kidnapping was this. They planned to go to her house, her vacation house, or wherever they could find her, kidnap her, and then they're going to put her on trial, the governor of Michigan. By the way, she was elected 2 years ago with a pretty good percentage. But they want to put her on trial. And I think the reason, from what I've read about this group, they just don't like regulations. They don't like, you know, this is the Second Amendment, protect our rights, protect God. You know, we hate abortions. We don't mind that 215,000 people have died of coronavirus, and we refuse to wear a mask and even protect our children. That's another story we'll get to in just a little bit. The Wolverine Watchmen is a militia group of Michigan men accused of plotting with other men to kidnap Governor Gretchen Whitmer and put her on trial in Wisconsin. Now, why it's going to be in Wisconsin, I'm not 100% sure. Authorities say they also called on group members to identify the homes of law enforcement officers to target them, quote, made threats of violence to instigate a civil war leading to a societal collapse, and engaged in planning and training to attack the Michigan State Capitol building. The complaint alleges that in a recorded phone call, Michigan resident and one of the extremists, Adam Fox, who's now under arrest, said he needed, quote, 200 men to storm the Capitol and take hostages, including the governor. He wanted to try the governor for treason before the November 2020 elections, the complaint says. That's 3.5 weeks from now. One of the arrested is accused of saying about the governor, quote, have one person go to her house, knock on the door. When she answers, just cap her. At this point, fuck it. Just cap her. You know what just cap her means, folks? This gentleman, this patriot, Trump supporter, I guarantee, said, let's just go to the door. The governor answers, let's just murder her. That's what he said. That's the people we've created under Donald Trump. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Making a Difference. I'm Eric Crossley with episode 28. And we were talking about the incredible situation in Michigan, and we'll have more on that on the next episode. Stunning, really. And again, every week under Donald Trump for the past 3.5+ years, every week we have a show ready, and just about every single week something new breaks. Now, is there a direct correlation between the plot to kidnap and assassinate the Michigan governor and storm the state capitol of Michigan with 200 armed militia to Donald Trump? No. But you know what, folks? Stuff like this is happening more and more and more. And this is a red alert. It's a sign that people like that are encouraged by President Trump. They're encouraged by President Trump because he says to the armed militia, the ones that are murdering black people, he says, you know, don't stand down. This is a week ago, by the way. Don't stand down, but just stand by for now, because we'll get right back to you. And the president has done it time and time again. Now, before we talk a little bit about the next part of our show, I did want to say Making a Difference is always happy to have folks from new countries. We have we welcome people from Colombia and Uruguay. I think that's the first time we've had folks from there. If not, welcome back. El Salvador, which I think we've had before, but since my partner, Flores, Senior Sochil, is from El Salvador, we'll say that. And also, I do know Malaysia is new, and also Palestine. Pleasure to talk to my friends in Ramallah, and hopefully in other places too as it comes along. The trip to Palestine I had in 2014, which I talked about in the show, was truly, truly incredible. Now, right as we are recording this, it's 8:30 approximately on Friday night, the President of the United States, it's going to be a crazy weekend for the President. The President has gone on Sean Hannity's show on Fox News. Now, keep in mind, Sean Hannity has his head so far up the president's behind that nobody else can top it. And that is saying a lot with people like Mitch McConnell and Senator Lindsey Graham around, and with Attorney General Barr with their heads so far up his ass. But really, truly, Sean Hannity is owned by Donald Trump. And any level of integrity, any tiny modicum of journalism that Sean Hannity ever had, and anything that Fox News had, even a tiny shred of decency, they've gone out the window tonight for the final time, folks, because starting at 8 o'clock, and I'm sorry I missed it, because I'll have to watch the replay, Fox News is actually doing live, this is live, they're doing a medical exam of the president on Fox News, and again, don't panic if you're listening to this and it's Saturday morning at 11 o'clock and, oh my gosh, I missed the medical exam of the president, the live exam on Fox News, because Fox News will have it replayed. You can watch the whole thing again. The actual exam is going on by, the exam is being conducted Friday night as we speak by Fox News contributor, Dr. Mark Siegel. And now, in a prelude to the live televised event on Tucker Carlson tonight at 8 p.m., and I apologize to Tucker Carlson because I was talking about Sean Hannity. The clip we have is from the Sean Hannity show, but tonight's exam is on Tucker Carlson's show. So I apologize. I'm sorry, Sean Hannity, but you blew it. Tucker Carlson and Fox News, they are having the live exam of the president tonight. And this is being conducted by Dr. Mark Siegel. Okay. The media has still not been told, by the way, when President Trump's last negative COVID-19 test result came back. Mainly because I don't think they have a negative test result yet. But if they do, it's going to be on tonight's medical exam on Fox News, which we're missing. Now, the president has not looked good. He did today a two hours. He did an interview today, and that was on far right wing Rush Limbaugh talk radio. 2 hours, the president felt that talking to Rush Limbaugh for 2 hours today, after he's been in the hospital and laid up and unable to conduct the running the country. What's more important? 2 hours with Rush Limbaugh on a Friday, a weekday, by the way, October 9th. The president felt that the 2 hours with Rush Limbaugh was the most important. I would give anybody a case of Corona beer if you can sit and listen to even half of that two-hour interview. I would literally put a gun, which are readily available, thanks to the Republicans, a gun to my head before I would listen to Donald Trump and Rush Limbaugh for 2 hours. That being said, and keep in mind, Dr. Siegel is on tonight, And Dr. Siegel, by the way, the president's spokesperson tonight, the Fox News contributor, the COVID-19 expert, Dr. Siegel, his history is a little bit shaky. He's downplayed the severity of the COVID-19 crisis and discards science in favor of right-wing talking points. So this is a person, a doctor, who feels like, actually, I really don't believe this COVID-19 thing. And now he's examining the president on Fox News. So the president's been on Fox News a lot just these past few days since he got out of the hospital after getting the best medical treatment in the world for the COVID-19 virus, which was really mild in his case, even though he got a drug cocktail that nobody guessed because it's experimental. We'll talk more about that. But he was on Sean Hannity, and we have a couple of rare clips from Fox News. And Sean Hannity, this first one, well, this is Sean Hannity and the president. Let's just listen to that.
Tested since your campaign and your doctor, Sean Connolly, put out that you'll be medically safe and cleared for safe return to public engagements by Saturday, five full days. Have you been tested recently?
Yeah, I just saw the doctors today. They think I'm in great shape. I'm in great shape.
Did you test negative?
Good shape in that. And I'll tell you, I took this Regeneron. It's phenomenal. And Eli Lilly has something very comparable. It's phenomenal. And it's a whole new day. It's a whole, and if you go back a few months, nobody ever even thought about this stuff. We came up with it. And I'm going to have it delivered to every hospital we have sick people with the COVID or the China virus, as we call it. And we're going to make people better. It actually made me better. I went in. I could have left a day later. I'm telling you, Sean, it was incredible.
Okay, so the president and Sean Hannity. Now, the question was actually by Sean Hannity was if the president had results from a recent COVID-19 test. Keep in mind, it's been over a week now since it came out that the president was positive with COVID-19. The president said, "I'm in great shape." He didn't really answer whether he's had a negative test result. But again, I think in tonight's fantastic Fox News show that, you know, again, if you watch, you might want to at least smoke some 420 before you do it. The the president's show on Fox News where he's discussing, well, he's being examined. I've never heard of that before. I've never seen a president of the United States having a medical exam live on only one network, by the way, CNN, MSNBC, they didn't get a chance to hit. Nobody else has gotten this. So Fox News is the only one who's having a medical exam by a quack doctor who thinks COVID-19 doesn't exist. Unbelievable. You can't make this stuff up. But the president said he's taking Regeneron. Now, I looked up Regeneron. Regeneron is not a drug, by the way. The president kept talking about Regeneron. He thinks it's a drug that he was taking, a cocktail mix that he was taking. In actuality, Regeneron is a pharmaceutical company based out of New York. Regeneron Pharmaceuticals antibody cocktail, which Trump took while being treated for COVID-19, is, according to the president, nothing less than a cure for the disease. This remains to be seen, with the treatment yet to undergo a peer-reviewed drug trial. The treatment is officially known as REGN-COV2. People are calling it Regeneron, even though that is the name of the Tarrytown, New York-based pharmaceutical company that makes the medicine, not the drug itself. So again, the president doesn't, of course, know anything about what he's talking about. But he thinks the Regeneron is fantastic and he's in great shape. Now, we're going to go to the president now and a little bit more from Fox News. First time we've ever had Sean Hannity twice, by the way, on the same show. Congratulations, Sean. And he's going to talk a little bit more. Let's hear a little bit more of that clip and what the president has to say with Sean Hannity.
Well, I didn't even want to use them. You know, last time I had a big problem. They oscillated my mics when I had the one debate. We had three debates with Hillary. And on, I think, the first debate, on the first debate, they oscillated the mic. And they oscillated it very, very seriously. and they actually apologized to me.
In 2016.
And I said, what's this all about? They were Clinton people. Yeah. And I said, we ought to just do the debates ourselves, John. We ought to just do it ourselves. And I pick, you know, I'm the president, so if we want to have debates, I'd rather just do it ourselves, pick some good anchor.
And so that was, again, you know, the president, the president still, maybe he needs to be reminded that it's October of 2020 and the election is 3.5 weeks, maybe when you're listening to it, 3 weeks away. Nevertheless, it's less than a month from the presidential election. And the president was talking about the, quote, how they were oscillating his mic during the three debates with Hillary Clinton, but in particular in one debate. Then the president lost his voice. The president, by the way, during this Sean Hannity interview, and maybe tonight during the medical exam, which we'll talk more about in the next show, the president was actually losing his voice, coughing. A lot of the symptoms of COVID-19 that maybe things aren't, everything's not great, like he says. But he was talking about his mic being oscillated in the 2016 debates with Hillary Clinton. One debate in particular. But it's not oscillating that he was actually meaning. He meant modulated. He meant that his mic was being doctored with for some reason. Maybe to make, I don't know what the reason to do something with his mic, because he has such a masculine voice. Is that what we're looking at here? The president, that they oscillated or actually modulated his mic. And he's talking about the 2016 election debates, 3.5 weeks before the 2020 election. Now, updating you on what's happening with the second presidential debate, it has been at least postponed, probably canceled. It was scheduled for Thursday, October 15th. I'm expecting we will have at least one more presidential debate, but it's not going to be next week on October 15th. We will keep you up to date with that on the next show. But the president, again, talking about the 2016 election, him and Pence, Mike Pence, the other night, you know, was talking about President Obama. They seem to have forgotten one minor thing. Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, they're going to be our next vice president and president. Okay? Time's running out for these folks. Pence has been vice president. Donald Trump has been president since January of 2017. That's almost 4 years. And yet they're still talking about President Obama. They're still talking about Hillary Clinton. The problem is they haven't really been able to catch up with the fact that 215,000 plus now people in the United States have died of COVID-19, that millions of families, millions of people have close friends, good friends that they've lost, and they haven't all been old either. Remember, we talked about a couple of shows ago how Donald Trump was talking. Everybody gets it as old. Donald Trump's 74, and he got it. So he's old, so he's right about that. We had a 19-year-old student down in Virginia at Appalachian State University, completely 100% healthy, and he seemed to be treated, and then he died of COVID-19. Those are the types of people, the families of those people, the friends of those people that we've lost. President Trump doesn't give a flying F about anybody except himself. And that's becoming more and more evident right now, because guess what? He's going to have a big event at the White House tomorrow, Saturday, and then another rally in Florida, and another rally after that. He doesn't get it, even after he got it. He doesn't get it after he got it. I like that, by the way. He got COVID-19, and he still doesn't get it. He wants everybody to get it. And if you die from it, well, you know, that's too bad. We have an election coming up, and I've done such great things. We've talked about this guy for 5.5 years, folks. And I'm sick and tired of talking about it. And I hope November 3rd, we get rid of him. And then January 20th, after he's taken from the Oval Office, he's thrown in prison, because our country is on the brink. And we will be back next week with another episode. I want to thank you all again for listening. I'm Eric Crossley with Making a Difference. We don't know what's going to break for next week, but we will be talking more about the goings on. with the potential debate and what's coming out of the White House, the repercussions from this weekend, because the president's starting rallies again. And we know that from a recent rally he had just last week now, at least 9 people have tested positive, and one of those people is in intensive care. That's what we know of. There are hundreds, thousands of people at these Trump rallies not wearing masks, infecting each other. And now we have another White House rally tomorrow. Real quick, just to reemphasize something I didn't get a chance to mention, it's estimated right now that 34 people who work in the White House or are directly connected with the White House who were at that rally just over a week ago where the president announced his Supreme Court nominee are infected. Now the president's infecting people himself. And if you're still voting for Donald Trump, God help you. I'm Eric Crossley. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.